The following message was given by brothers Edwin Wrighton and Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on December 4th, 2016. The title of the message is Love Builds Up. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 and 13, 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, 1 John chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 19.
Jesus, we do love you. Amen. Lord, we look to you that you would speak to us. Amen. Bind the enemy, bind all his distractions and hindrances, Amen. That we have ears to hear your speaking. Amen. We need your speaking. We go on by your speaking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. This morning, my word is a very simple one. It can be expressed in a phrase: practicing the divine love. Amen. Not just thinking about it, not just talking about it, but practicing the divine love. If you get this phrase, you got the message. So we come to 1 John 3, 17 and 18. Let's read these two verses together. But whoever has the livelihood of the world sees that his brother has need and shuts up his affections from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and truthfulness.
And in this we know that we are of the truth, and he will persuade our hearts before him.
We will start with verse 18. Why? Because this really rules, guides, directs our thinking and my speaking. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and truthfulness. So we need to see this morning that here in this verse 18, deed is versus word, and truthfulness is versus tongue. What the word means here is that we don't need to talk about loving. Yeah. We don't need to tell others we love him or her. We need to show our love by doing something. That's what the word deed means. If you just talk about love, but there is no deed to go with that love, that's just talk. Just empty, vain talk. So let's not talk about love, but let's practice the divine love. Because tongue just means loose, vain talk. And then we see in deed and truthfulness. Truthfulness here in this particular phrase, in this verse, doesn't mean merely the opposite of a lie. But it means the sincerity, the truth, the reality in God himself. This is how we should love. Truthfulness denotes genuineness, sincerity of God as a divine attribute, becoming in us a virtue. But we will see that this doesn't just happen. This is not miraculous. This requires that we spend time with God, requires that we have to be one with God, requires that we can express God, live God, that others can see God in our actions. This is what we are talking about this morning. So we shouldn't love merely in word, but we should love in truthfulness, in the divine reality becoming our virtue. Honest, faithful, sincere, truthful. We should love the brothers and sisters in this way. Of course, this kind of love in truthfulness includes a love to supply the needs of others. And this is what we have in verse 17. Let's read verse 17 again. But whoever has the livelihood of the world and sees that his brother has need and shuts up his affections from him, how does the love of God abide in him? That's right. How does the love of God abide in him if he doesn't take care of his brother? So I hope it is very clear concerning practicing the love of God. The practicing of the love of God has to have an evidence, has to have an action, has to have a deed. Then it is real. Otherwise, it is just talk, just vain talk. Therefore, we need to realize this is what the Lord wants to us. Not merely to love in the human virtue of sincerity, but the divine reality becoming our virtue. And in that way, we can express the Lord. Let's read verse 19 again. And in this we will know that we are of the truth.
Lord, see it?
Truth denotes the reality of the eternal life which we have received of God when we received our second birth, which made us sons of God. By loving the brothers and sisters with this divine love, we know that we are in the truth, which means the reality. We know that this love is real. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now we come to chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read this verse together. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of God has been perfected. In this we know that we are in him. So here we are exhorted to keep his word. And in this way, we can really have our love perfected. But I would like to read verse 3 first. And in this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So verse 3 mentions keeping his commandments. Verse 5 mentions keeping his word. Actually, we need to realize both his commandments and his word are one thing, are his God speaking to us. The Greek word for know in verse 3, in this we know. This Greek word may also be rendered perceive, means that we perceive, not doctrinally, but experientially, we perceive what? That we know him by keeping his commandments. So this is what the Lord is after. A more literal translation of the Greek words rendered have known him would be to have come to know him. We have come to know him, we're knowing him a little more, and we will continue to know him for the rest of our life, because this is our God. Our God cannot be explained. Our God cannot be experienced once for all. Has to be our daily, even our moment by moment experience. And then we have come to know him. We still continue to know him. This is experiential knowing him, not mental knowing. If we know the Lord in this experiential way, surely we shall keep his commandments. We need to know the Lord in an experiential way, but knowing the Lord in an experiential way means that it would affect our living. Why do we do things? Well, to give an example, for instance, there's some worldly amusement. Why you don't go? You don't go just because you found in the Bible that it talks that we shouldn't love the world. Surely it's good to know the Bible. Surely it's good to obey the Bible. But it's more than that. It's because you love God. It's because you know God. It's because you know he's holy and he doesn't want you to do this. So here we see that our knowing of God should affect our daily living, because the knowing of God is experiential. So, again, of course, we need to know the Word, and we need to follow the Word. But concerning our attitude towards the world and towards things that God does not appreciate, does not agree with, we do it because we love him. And it's so precious, so wonderful, that we can say, when somebody invites us to something that we know God doesn't want us to go, I don't go because I love God. Amen. How precious. How wonderful. It's not, oh, well, because I shouldn't go. Oh, you know, it's really not right. Oh, I'm a Christian. A Christian shouldn't do this and that. No. It's because we love God. So that's the reason why we behave ourselves in a particular way. Then, in 1 John 5, but whoever keeps his word, okay, whoever keeps his word. What did the Lord himself say about his word? In John 6:63, he said to his disciples, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Therefore, this is so precious. This is so wonderful. This is not like the Ten Commandments. This is not like the law. The law told you to do something, it gave you no supply. But when we keep his word is life and spirit to us. Therefore, we have the commandment, whatever the word says, but we also have the supply. So this is much easier than keeping the Ten Commandments with no supply. The Lord is that way. He does require, but at the same time, He provides. And the word here is the totality, the aggregate of all the commandments. All that God speaks to us. Not only what He speaks to us in His word, not only what the apostles have written, but even what He tells us in our morning watch. Or whenever we ask Him, Lord, what about this? How do you feel? What is your impression? This is to keep His word. And we have the supply. So no matter how many commandments there are, the whole of the commandments are the word of the Lord. So we can keep the word because we have the supply in the word. We can keep His commandments because He is our supply to keep the commandments. Now, here, it says that whoever keeps His word, truly in this one, the love of God has been perfected. Again, as we mentioned many times, the word love here, the love of God, is agape, the divine love. But it's interesting, here it tells us that if we keep His word, the love of God has been perfected. So here we see that not only we receive the love of God, not only we love others with the love of God, but this love needs to increase. This love needs to be perfected. Of course, the love of God doesn't need to be perfected in God Himself, but in our experience, it does need to be perfected. And it tells us in the word that the one who keeps the Lord's word has been perfected. And we see that this means much more than just the love of God being perfected. We need to remember that this refers to God's life. God's life is the supply to love others, to love, even to love God. Actually, if you study this verse, and if you read it in Greek, you will realize that the love of God is talking here is our love towards God. This is what needs to be perfected. The love of God has been manifested to us in the Father sending His Son to be our propitiation, as we were singing this morning. How precious. So the Son to be a propitiation and also to be life to us. In chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. So when we love others with the love of God, God is expressed through our loving others. This should be our experience. Habitually loving others by the love of God. Our living in the love of God towards one another is its perfection and completion in its manifestation through us. Then others can behold God in us. And John concludes verse 5 by saying, in this we know that we are in him. Of course, the word him refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that it says in him stresses the fact that when we keep his word, when the love of God is expressed through us, we are one with God. That's why it says in him. The loving essence of God becomes ours so that we could love God, so that we could love the brothers and sisters with the love of God. So we need to realize this is the kind of life we should live. Whatever the Lord speaks is a word supplying us life and spirit. Even if what the Lord says is an injunction, a commandment, we still have the supply. We need to realize that God supplies us with life whenever we come to him. So we have the supply. If we consider the Greek text, as I mentioned, we should realize that here it's talking about loving God, but that is also applicable to our loving the brothers and sisters. Now, first of all, how does this all start? First of all, we enjoy the love of God ourselves. Then, after we enjoy the love of God ourselves, we have the love of God, we have his loving essence, and we can love others with his love. Actually, the love of God, the word of the Lord, and God himself are all related. And God's love is altogether a matter of the divine life. If we have the divine life operating in us, we have the love of God operating in us. So, the Lord supplies us every time. Now we come to 1 John chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. To abide in love is to live a life that loves others habitually with a love which is God himself. To abide in God is to live a life that is God himself, so we're one with him and we express him in our loving others. Now this brings us to 1 John 4:17, and I will just stop after this verse. But I want you to pay attention to this verse. Let's read it. In this has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of the judgment, because even as he is, so also are we in this world. All right. In this, it's in our abiding in the love which is God himself. And the love of God is perfected in us when we obey his word. But John here says something really amazing, really astonishing, really unbelievable. But we need to realize this is the Word of God. Why do I say this? Because in this has love been perfected with us, that what? That we may have boldness in the day of the judgment. Oh, wait a minute. Can you imagine that? Maybe we thought, according to the God-ordained way, we had to lead one person to the Lord a year, and that person we need to shepherd for that year, and that person should be a member of the body of Christ. Otherwise, I'll be ashamed at his judgment seat if I don't have a following of people that have been saved. Of course we need to preach the gospel. Of course we need to shepherd. But here, what does it tell us? If our love has been perfected by obeying his word, by loving others with the love of God, and loving him, of course, with the love of God, we may have boldness in the day of the judgment. Brother Lee had one particular item before his desk, a fire. And he always had in mind that he shouldn't do anything that would ultimately be burned. Well, here is the opposite. The day of the judgment, we can have boldness because we love him and because we love the brothers and sisters with his love. I don't know if you think this is amazing. I do. So I will just stop here. Thank the Lord for his speaking. Amen. May we continue with Brother Ricky.
Our brother mentioned that his burden can be summarized in this phrase: practicing the divine love. Practicing the divine love. And I'd like to follow him by telling you my burden can be summarized in three words. That is just this. It's actually the last verse. We didn't get to read it. Maybe we could go to that now, all the way at the end. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Actually, just the last four words there. Just the last three words. Just the last three words. Love builds up. Maybe we could say that again. Love builds up. You know, saints, we've been on this matter of love for several weeks now. Right. And we're not done yet. At least one, maybe two to go. And I wonder if you've had this kind of consideration. Why is the Lord keeping us here? Why are we here in this matter? Of course, in our study, we're in 1 Corinthians 13. But it seems that in this, the shortest of the chapters, we spend the longest of the time. And the Lord has kept us here. And, you know, I was thinking the children of Israel in their travels in the Old Testament, they just would follow the cloud. They just would follow the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at the nighttime. And whenever that pillar lingered, they just stayed there. They just stayed because the Lord was the one leading his people. And it is our registration that the Lord has led us to this point and is just keeping us here to speak to us, to make a kind of impression upon us. And I at least in my consideration, I was thinking about this. For so many months before we went back to 1 Corinthians, if you recall, we were in the book of Exodus for many, many months in the book of Exodus. And especially we were on this matter of the tabernacle. and looking at the details of the tabernacle. And so why, after all of this time and all of these details, then we complete our study of Exodus and we pick up in Corinthians again. And where are we? We're in 1 Corinthians 12. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, the big point is the matter of the body. And then in chapter 13 is the matter of love. And then we'll go on to 14 eventually. And there you have the matter of prophesying for the building up of the church. And to me, dear saints, all of these things just come together in this matter of love. Because how will the Lord build his house, his tabernacle? Love builds up. Love builds up. We could have all the knowledge of all the things, all the details of all the types, but we need love to put everything into practice. To put everything into practice, we need the Lord's love. We need to be saturated with the Lord's love so that we could experience him, but not only personally that we could have the contact with him, but for the building up of the church, for our contact with one another, we need the love of God. This divine inclusive love. Love builds up. Love builds up. And you know, I think many of us know, last weekend in San Jose, California, we had an international conference there. And the general subject of that conference was the direction of the Lord's move. The direction of the Lord's move. And there are three highlight points. And they are the building up of the body, the preparation of the bride, and the bringing in of the kingdom. And this is to show that actually everything that we do in the Lord's recovery, everything that we do in God's economy, in the church life, should have this direction. And what is that? To build the body. The goal of every service is to build up the body. We're not just taking care of external things. Our goal is to build the body, because God's goal is to build the body. And we also see that before he comes back, he needs the preparation of the bride. The church must be his bride. So that he is preparing his bride, and he will return as the bridegroom, right? And then the matter of the kingdom. We are bringing in his kingdom. We're bringing in his kingdom. On one hand, we're living in the reality of the kingdom today, but the building of the church will culminate in the bringing in of the manifestation of the kingdom. And I was struck, as we've been in all these points concerning the matter of the agape love in these few weeks, that, saints, each one of these three points has absolutely everything to do with the matter of love. You know, Ephesians, and that's what I'd like to present to you today. We have several verses in Ephesians that I'd like to read with you, not to dwell too much on them, but to go through with them. I'd like you to see from this list, every chapter in Ephesians talks about this matter of love. Actually, I was struck that Ephesians mentions love, or some form of the word agape, more than the book of 1 Corinthians does. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13 has many, many mentionings of this. But Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, has at least 19 occurrences of this word agape in some form. And the book of Ephesians, the highlight point is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. So surely, the building of the body is a matter of love. And this is especially strengthened in chapter 4. We'll come back to that in a moment. The second highlight point of that conference is the matter of the bride. Of course, then the bride is a matter of love, of loving the Lord. But saints, even the kingdom is a matter of love. You know, in Colossians, it says that we have been transferred out of the authority of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. the kingdom of the Son of His love. And in the conference, we enjoyed very much this one psalm, Psalm 45, which is actually a praise to the King. It's a praise to the King, Psalm 45. But do you know that that chapter, which is written by the sons of Korah, it says in the title, this is a song of love. Actually, our relationship with our King should be a relationship of love. So, saints, in every point, love is a key. Love is a factor. But let's come to this to these points in Ephesians. And again, I'd like to point out in the book of Ephesians, I think we've heard several times in the past, every chapter of Ephesians mentions a few things. And you know, Ephesians surely is the top book concerning the church. And it mentions the church from many different angles. And what we saw in this last weekend conference is actually, firstly, we see the body of Christ at the end of chapter 1. And the rest of the book really develops this matter of the body from many different perspectives. But it's very striking that every chapter mentions the Spirit. Every chapter mentions the human spirit. Every chapter of Ephesians. Every chapter of Ephesians also mentions the triune God. So you see, in every chapter you have the church. In every chapter you have the Spirit. In every chapter you have the triune God. But to me it's so precious that in every chapter also you have this matter of love. Because love brings us into the practice of the body. With love, we can build one another up. We can build one another up. How about we just read these verses quickly? Ephesians 1:4 together. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, without blemish. Amen. So here we see we were chosen in eternity past in love, right? 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. So chapter 2 shows us the background. He chose us in eternity past, but in time we had a very bad situation. But God changed our whole history. But God in His love. Okay, chapter 3, verse 17, together. You know, and it's been often said in the past that Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 are the heart of the divine revelation. That is, taking these four books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, as the heart of the divine revelation. But the heart of the heart is these two verses. And the centerpiece is Christ making His home in our hearts. But do you know, dear saints, this is absolutely a matter of love. Amen. Our letting Christ make His home within us. And actually, as we allow Christ to make His home within us, in the following verses, we are led to the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. So in our experience of Christ daily, as He's making His home in our hearts, this matter of love is at the center. Okay, chapter 4. Now in chapter 4, we start to see the verses directly related to the matter of love and the body. Love and the body, the building up of the body. Let's read these three verses. Verses 2, 15, and 16. Amen. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself I'll just focus on 15 and 16. Firstly, holding to truth in love. Holding to truth in love. Saints, if we're going to build the body, actually, the first thing we need to do is hold the truth in love. We need to, as our brother mentioned, keep his word. We need to know the word. We need to dive into the word more. We need to dive into the ministry publications more, to be saturated with the word, so that we have something to minister to one another. It's a real practical love to be filled with something and just supply one another, not only in the meetings, but even in our casual contact with one another, when we have maybe a lunch together or dinner together, to overflow something of the Lord that we enjoyed in the Word is really an expression of love. But that needs us to be saturated so that our heart can be overflowing with something. So the first point in building the body is we need to love the truth. We need to hold the truth in love. Then in verse 16, we can see that the body builds itself up in love. Saints, it's not just a matter of all the outward things in the church life and having all the things set up properly, the service groups and so on. If there's no love, there will be no building. There will be no building. How about chapter 5? These two verses, verses 2 and 25. And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, the first half of Ephesians is really more focused on revelation, showing the revelation of the church. The latter half is on the practice, our daily life. And here, this verse, chapter 5, verse 2, says, walk in love. Saints, for the body life, for the church life, if we're going to have a prevailing church life, we have to walk in love. We have to walk in love. Finally, Ephesians 6, 23 and 4, which is the conclusion of the book of Ephesians. Let's read. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. So saints, such a book, which highlights the matter of the church, which highlights the matter of the body, chapter after chapter, emphasizes this matter of love. As our brother mentioned from 1 John, we need to first be soaked with the Lord's love, so that we can love others. You know, when the recovery version of first came out of 1 John, I wonder if we could go back to 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Yeah. We love because he first loved us. You know, this was one of the first verses that I memorized as a child in the Sunday school when I was in the denomination. But I memorized it in the King James Version. You know, in the King James Version, there's an extra word. And that is the word him, capital H-I-M. It says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him. And this is right. We actually have hymns based on that translation of the Bible. And so when I first read this in the Recovery Version, I was really bothered by this. And of course, I went to the Greek and I saw, well, the brothers are right. Accurate, it's very accurate. It doesn't say him in the original. And I checked other versions and other good versions also, just like this. We love because he first loved us. Of course, it's true. We love him because he first loved us. And often we pray this way, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Very often at the Lord's table, we pray this way. But you know, the context of this verse is not loving God. The context of these verses, as you can see, is actually loving the brothers, loving one another. And saints, just as it is true that we can love the Lord only if he loves us. Our love for him is a reflection, an echo of our love to him. The only way that we can love one another is also to be saturated with his inclusive love, saturated with his unbounded love, saturated with his love that doesn't discriminate and just loves everyone. And the more we're saturated with him, then we love. We just love. We just love. We love him and we love everyone else because he first loved us. And so, saints, I'll close with this thought. You know, we also had recently a training on under this title, "The Return to the Orthodoxy," or "Returning to the Orthodoxy of the Church." And we actually, 2 weeks ago, had a review here with many brothers from all over the region. And that fellowship, 7 of the 9 messages were on the 7 churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And of course we know that the church in Philadelphia is the church, the recovered church. That's the church that has returned to the orthodoxy of the church. I was encouraged very much by these verses, actually verse 7 and 8, these two verses. I think you're familiar with them. It says, "To the church, to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the true One, the One who has the key of David," and this is the phrase I want to highlight, "the One who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut." Saints, before the church in Philadelphia, the church that is characterized with brotherly love, the church that is saturated with the Lord's love, there's an open door. There's an open door. And saints, I have to say, it just seems that before the church here, there's an open door. There's an open door. And the Lord is blessing the church here so much. And I do hope that many would respond to this announcement of the fellowship next Saturday. This is on one hand, to review how many doors have been opened, and then to look forward to the Lord opening more doors for the church to go on. But I think it's really something that the open door is to the church of brotherly love. When this is the characteristic in the church, full of love, we just love one another, there's the oneness. And the Lord opens every door, the doors that no man can shut. But you know, later in the chapter, in the next church, Laodicea, it also mentions a door. And that door is shut. That door is shut. Even the Lord is outside the door trying to get in. So, saints, Laodicea is not the love of the brothers. Laodicea is the opinion of the many. So we need to replace all the opinions with love. When we're delivered from the opinions and the criticisms, and we have the genuine love for one another, there's just an open door for the church. And saints, and we are just enjoying this kind of blessing. Thank the Lord for what he has been doing in the church here and in the churches. And may we give the Lord a way to continue always to keep an open door before his church. Amen. Amen. I'll stop here. Brother Dennis will direct us.